Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Godawari Power & Ispat Limited Q3 and 9 months FY25 earnings conference call, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akhilesh Kumar from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Akhilesh.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Godawari Power Q3 FY25 earnings conference call. I would like to take a moment to thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. We have with us today Abhishek Agrawal, Executive Director, and Sanjay Bothra, CFO. I now hand over the call to management for the opening remarks. Over to you, Mr. Bothra.
Thank you, Akhilesh. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for the Q3 and 9-month FY25 earnings con call of Godawari Power & Ispat Limited. Our financial results, press release, and earnings presentation are now available on our website and on stock exchanges. I believe you have had a chance to review the same. I will briefly take you through the results, post which we will have a question-and-answer session. GPIL has maintained stable performance over the past 9 months despite facing challenges from lower realizations. Now, coming to key strategic updates for this quarter. The approval for mining capacity expansion of Ari Dongri mines from 2.35 to 6 million tons is expected to be in place by Q1 FY26. GPIL has also restarted mining operations at Boriatibu iron ore captive mines, having a capacity of 0.7 million tons per annum. 0.6 million tons iron ore beneficiation plant for BMQ out of proposed 6 million tons capacity situated at Ari Dongri mines has also started. The increase in pellet plant's capacity from 2.7 to 4.7 million tons is expected to be commissioned by Q2 FY26. The plan to set up a greenfield integrated steel plant with a capacity of 2 million tons has been dropped. The company is evaluating different alternative projects with lower capacity and lower CapEx, for which announcement will be made once the project is finalized. In addition to the 70-megawatt solar power plant that is planned to be set up for additional capacity of pellet plant, an additional 25-megawatt solar power plant is also decided to be set up for additional power requirement of new beneficiation plant at Ari Dongri mines. The plan to venture into OPVC pipe manufacturing has been dropped due to changed market scenario. GPIL has completed acquisition of 49% stake in share capital of Jammu Pigments Limited on a fully diluted basis as of 31st December 2024. The company has entered into an agreement with GAIL for supply of liquefied natural gas for GPIL's upcoming pellet plant for a period of 7 years. The company is eligible to supply steel billets to all manufacturers of galvanized steel structures for the transmission projects of Power Grid Corporation of India Limited. CARE has assigned CARE ESG3 rating with a rating score of 51. This is the first ESG rating assigned to the company. Now, coming to operational performance of the production guidance set for FY25 for iron ore mining, iron ore pellets, sponge iron, and ferroalloys, the company has already achieved 69%, 73%, 84%, and 96%, respectively. Iron ore mining and pellet production dropped slightly, whereas production volume of sponge iron, HB wires, ferroalloys, and power increased on both quarterly and nine-month basis. In Q3 FY25, sales of iron ore pellet decreased on YOY basis due to shifting of export consignment from Q3 to Q4 FY25. Sponge iron, steel billets, and MS round decreased on YOY basis due to increasing production of HB wires. Sales of HB wires and ferroalloys increased significantly on both quarterly and 9-month basis. Pellet realization increased by 2% on 9-month basis to rupees 10,387 a ton, whereas realization for other products were down in the range of 3 to 8%. Now coming to consolidated financial performance, on quarterly basis, our revenue, EBITDA and PAT dropped due to lower production of iron ore, pellets and drop in realization of almost all the products except ferroalloys. On 9-month basis, the company achieved flat revenue of Rs. 3,908 crores. EBITDA and PAT was down on account of lower realization of finished products. Despite the challenges, EBITDA margin and PAT margin stood strong at 22 and 15% respectively. The company has a healthy balance sheet with net cash balance of Rs. 725 crores. Now coming to the market outlook, first international iron ore scenario. As of February 25, the global iron ore market is experiencing notable shifts influenced by various economic factors. Recent trade policies, including tariffs imposed by US and China's countermeasures, have introduced uncertainties in the global iron ore market. These developments could indirectly affect major exporters like Australia. The global iron ore market in 2025 is characterized by an anticipated decline in prices, increased production and evolving demand patterns, particularly in China. Stakeholders should monitor these developments closely to navigate the changing landscape effectively. Domestic steel demand scenario. Indian steel industry is navigating a complex landscape characterized by robust domestic demand, increased imports and evolving global trade dynamics. India's steel demand is projected to grow by 8 to 9% in 2025, driven by increased construction in housing and infrastructure sectors. While India's steel demand is on upward trajectory, the industry faces challenges from increased imports and global trade policies. Proactive measures, including potential safeguard duties and strategic investment, are being considered to support a domestic production and maintain market stability. To conclude, I would want to say that as we approach the end of FY25, we remain hopeful about restoring our pellet production and sales to previous levels. Our robust net cash position, combined with a well-planned capex strategy focused on substantially expanding our iron ore mining and pellet production capacities, provides a solid foundation for future growth. Improved operational efficiencies and cost savings from solar energy will further strengthen our performance. Moreover, the benefit of having captive iron ore mines and producing high-grade pellets coupled with steadfast support from our stakeholders position us for remarkable success in the years ahead. I would like now to open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. I repeat, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and 1. We have our first question from the line of Vikas Singh from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand find that the steel, probably you have taken a call that now is not the right time. But for the plastic pipes, what are the difficulties we have faced for which we have to drop the project? And now, since both the large-scale project has been dropped, what is the plan for the cash which we are holding?
Okay. Hi, good afternoon. Just to correct, the pipe project was not a very large scale. It was a small capex of about 125 crores. So the reason, we have dropped the OPVC project is, so when we had entered into an agreement with the equipment supplier, that time, hardly there were, any manufacturers in India who were firstly aware and other, they ordered any machines. What has happened is suddenly Chinese technology came into India, which we were not aware of. and now there is a flurry of orders given by different companies who are already into the pipe segment, be it local, say Bajrang, Samba, be it big guys like Apollo. So another thing, the I would say the USP where you may thought, you know, we'll get an advantage of, say, at least a year to 2 years, where we'll be the first mover, that advantage is totally gone away. You know, we were totally blindsided by Chinese technology. And that's the reason we decided we want to drop this project, because the first mover advantage will not be there. And, you know, everybody's putting up a pipe plant now. So again, as in India, kahawat hai na bhedchal. So we thought, you know, since we are not very strong in the pipe business right now, so let's enter into a segment where, you know, we have to start working from scratch. So the whole idea has been dropped. The capex here in research was about 125 crores, out of which we have only spent 14 crores on the order of equipment, where we have already spoken to the supplier, and he has agreed to return the money in due course of time. So there will be no financial loss to the company, and that is why we have dropped the pipe project for PVC for, you know, ever. That's the whole reason behind it.
Understood, sir. And now the plans for the cash, because our cash generation would remain high.
Yeah, just to add, so see, the idea of dropping the 2 million steel plant was, you know, as a management, I want to be very honest, the capex we envisaged, you know, initially, we got it wrong, you know. So usually what happens, we thought ki 60% is equipment cost and 40% will be the infra cost. But what has happened is, it is opposite. So 40% is your equipment cost and 60% is your infra cost. So the entire capex, which in size about 5,000 to 6,000 crores for a 2 million plant, will now probably, you know, cross 8,000 crores. So with so much of, you know, capital investment, where we would have gone to the bank on, you know, long term basis to, you know, keep the project running on time, we don't want to go back into the same debt cycle which, you know, we had entered last 10 years back. So we thought to drop the project, but the entire project is not dropped. We are revisiting, reevaluating on a smaller capacity, say from 0.8 to 1 million tons, and that will be announced in due course of time. Because we want to, you know, invest in steel, value-added steel, but with a smaller capex, so that we don't have to take a long-term loan from the bank. That's the whole idea.
Understood, sir.
But what has happened is, just to add to it, there is the delay to acquire the land, and the EC, you know, has been very long now, you know. And unfortunately, luckily, I would say, during this course, the market also reversed quite a bit. There were a lot of additional capacity by the big players in the flat segment. So I thought, this is the right opportunity where we actually take a call. So we went to the board, we discussed, you know, on this, and that's why the communication to the, you know, the shareholders.
Understood, sir. So how much we have already spent for this steel plant? Any money?
Nothing. Very peanut. You know, we have done some license, you know, some approvals and certain plantation and all in term, as per state government. The value is hardly below 1 crore rupees. So as if nothing is spent on the new steel plant, you know, certain consulting fees and all, which is bare minimum.
Understood, sir. So second question regards to pellet pricing. So last one and a half months we've seen that the international iron ore prices have been continuously increasing. So just wanted to understand over 3Q versus pellet prices, and how's the mix between export or domestic, if at all any exports you are doing right now?
See, we did export a shipment last quarter, December we started exports. Primarily, you know, what has happened is ki post Diwali, usually the steel market, usually, you know, the demand picks up. But this time, the demand was quite sluggish. So what has happened is ki the demand of pellet was, you know, quite weak in the domestic market, because new pellet plants, merchant pellet plants also got commissioned, you know, in Chhattisgarh and around Chhattisgarh. So that is the reason the pellet sales in domestic market was quite weak. And we had to export one shipment, which got loaded in month of January. Right now, we're not exporting anything because the domestic... So what has happened is, you know, with the news of duty being, you know, put on steel before the budget, the domestic market picked up slightly, and there was a good demand of pellet. So we have booked in domestic market and we're not exporting pellets anymore.
Understood, sir. And sir, spot prices versus 3Q average, what would be the difference, positive or negative?
Okay, so if you export right now, the realization will be about 1,000 rupees less compared to domestic market.
Noted, sir. On net level you are talking about?
Yeah, net level, of course.
Understood, sir. So just one more question on the Boria Tibu, Boria Tibu side. So we have we completed the beneficiation plant basically there, and the capacity has been started?
See, actually the whole logic you know, behind starting the Boria Tibu was, you know, there is no beneficiation plant in Boria Tibu right now. And we have plans to put up one, but that will take about 3-4 years down the line, as we have declared earlier as well. So what we've done is we have created the circuit in Godavari to beneficate the Boria Tibu ore, because the Boria Tibu ore is of low grade. It's about 55 average. So earlier we couldn't beneficate that ore and we had to, you know, blend it in our charge mix. But now we are benefiting that ore and raising it to 65 concentrate. So that is why we have restarted the mines again and bring the ore to Godavari and beneficating along with other iron ores.
Understood, sir. And so just one last question. Given that the domestic prices of iron ore had been a weaker trend while the international is improving, so what's your take on the domestic prices? Whether do you see scope of domestic prices going up, or the demand is still too weak for any such thought process?
You see, in the national market, you know, the prices have not moved up much. It's hardly 5-7% here. You know, the low was about 97.90 and China was on holiday. Right, it's about 106. So it's hardly, you know, 7-8%. So I won't say it's a substantial increase in the national market. The domestic market, there is a shortage of iron ore, and it will continue to remain, you know, for, you know, till the supply starts improving. But demand is still, there's still a big gap between demand and supply. So domestic iron ore pricing is still very strong compared to the national market. Which is...
Understood.
Because that in turn will keep the fair price on the higher side.
Noted, sir. That's all for myself. Yeah. I'll join the queue for further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Manav Gogia from Yes Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon, sir, and thank you so much for the opportunity. This, sir, building upon Vikashji's question on the steel plant, you mentioned that your, you know, according to your computation, it came up to be around 8,000 crores. So did this include the coke oven as well? Because as I recall, we were not setting up a coke oven prior.
If you are aware, you know, about a month back, Government of India has restricted the import of coke into India to merchant cokeries in India, right? So merchant cokeries have been to help them, support them by imposing certain kind of duties. So what the Indian government has done is they have limited the quota of imports from respective countries for a period of 6 months, you know. So basically such policies, you know, we were forced to put up a coke oven because if the situation continues for longer term, we can't import coke and then you have to buy coke from the local cokeries, which will increase the operating costs by substantially. So unfortunately, we had to envisage the capex for coke oven during the final discussion which happened because of the government changing government policy.
Sure. So that is...
And the capex was almost close to 1,000 crore rupees. Yes. Substantial.
Sure, sir. And so, yeah. You know, as I recall from the one of our past calls, we had stated that the minimum requirement that the company needed to set up a HRC plant was, you know, for 2 MTPA. So now how with the new, you know, how the currently the discussions are going for the new plant, what sort of a route are we going to go for? Will we still go for an HRC plant, or are we evaluating to, you know, expand?
No. So to be honest, you know, the way primary producers have been increasing their capacities, you know, for example, NNBC just started their 3 million plant, JSPL started their 5 million plant, and about 20 million further capacity is going to be online in the next couple of years by the big guys. So we have completely dropped the HRC project. Because it's no point going for a narrow section with, you know, flat. It has to be a complete range of products from 1250 to, say, 2 meters. So we have dropped the HRC product. We are exploring other products in flat segment like structures, heavy structures, beams, and at the same time also the long products. Because we're all into long market, so we know how long market works. So we are evaluating on both sides. And once we decide, we'll, you know, probably inform all the shareholders.
Okay, sure, sir.
But so a chassis is definitely out of picture now. We're not going to go ahead with the chassis now.
Okay. Got it. That was very helpful. Thank you so much.
Right.
You know, the other question comes on the pellet plant, which we are, you know, about to commission. I think about majority of the capex is still about 432 crores is, you know, balance which has to be incurred probably over the next couple of quarters, I assume. So I wanted to know, like, are we going to do it, you know, what's going to be the split between Q4 and Q1 if that is something which you have in mind right now?
See, the capex is ongoing. You know, we've already started the erection of the equipment. So, you know, probably depending on, you know, so China shipments have started receiving, you know, from all the suppliers. So, we envisage the pellet plant will start trial production by, you know, early Q2. And by end of Q1 for FY26, the entire capex will be done. So, between Q4, which is already going halfway, so in next 4 months, the entire remaining 430 crores will be spent. And we are confident we can start the trial production of the new pellet plant in FY26 Q2.
And sir, how much time do we expect on the ramping up to full, you know, utilization levels for the pellet plant?
See, 3 to 6 months maximum. So, end of probably Q3 or, you know, mid of Q3, we can expect the full production.
Got it. So, from FY27 onwards, we can expect the full flow of volumes to kick in.
No, I think in worst case scenario, I think Q4 FY26, for sure.
Okay. Sure, sir. So, just following up on, you know, the capex, right? Earlier, I guided about one from the rows of capex expectations for FY26. Now, are we looking to cut that number down, considering, you know, the steel plant is off the charts? So, what sort of a capex can we expect for FY26?
See, so the mining, the beneficiation in the mines, along with about 95 megawatts of solar for mining as well as pellet, and the remaining capex for the pellet plant. So all these will be incurred, you know, in next, you know, 3 quarters, which is Q4 FY25, and remaining will be probably for, you know, FY26. So so solar will take about 5 crores, and mining, which is about 150 balance to be incurred, and about 400. So about 850 crores of capex will be incurred in this quarter and next financial year.
Got it.
And everything will be in general accrual because we still have a healthy balance sheet, and we are generating enough free cash flows on every quarter.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
From my end, I'll join back with you for more.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, sir, we are seeing a drop in the realization of pellets in Q3. Now, if I check the steel and tripod prices, I don't see that kind of Q1Q drop in YOY. It's quite flat. So, if you can help us understand, because, you know, the drop in prices really hits our margins. So, what were the reasons for the low price for pellets?
So I'll tell you what has happened is in Q3, especially what happened this post-Diwali, you know, we were expecting the steel demand to go up, which, you know, rather it happened the vice versa side. And, you know, a couple of new pellet plants, merchant pellet plants got commissioned in the Raipur area sector, right? So there was an oversupply of pellets, and because of, you know, sluggish finished demand, the uptake of pellets was not very high. So we had to export a vessel. You know, we were carrying inventory of more than about 56,000 tons, which never happened, usually happens. So, current on the inventory, we've exported a vessel, and end of December, the market picked up, and, you know, we have held the order book. So, it was a one-off situation where prices were really corrected, plus we had a higher inventory duty than we maintained. So, with all these factors, it impacted the EBITDA for Q3. But I'm confident going forward, Q4, you will see a much better results compared to Q3.
Right, sir. And would you be able to give us a quantum of the dispatches or the export shipment, as in, because we were expecting the production to be somewhere around 4,40,000, 4,20,000 per pellet, which we have done around 3 lakh. So,
No. See, 3 lakh is the sale. It's not the production. Production is very much within the range. Sale was down because our inventory is almost reached about a lakh ton. So finally, we exported a vessel, and now the inventory is down to below 27 tons. So all the carrying forward inventory from Q3 will be sold in Q4. We have no intention to export further because domestic demand has again picked up, and we have a healthy order book till March end. So all the inventory will be cleared, and the carry forward EBITDA will be seen in Q4 going forward.
If you're sticking to the 2.44 million ton.
100%. So whatever guidance we give in terms of production volume and sales, we are sticking to that, and we will achieve that for sure.
Got it, sir. And the kind of, say, the supply surplus kind of situation you faced in pellet for Q3, do you think that could come again? Because we'll be unleashing a big supply of pellet once our new pellet plant comes in. So do you find?
That is quite possible because eventually, everything is a pellet is a part of supply chain. So we are very well prepared because the new pellet plant will be producing high grade. So we have a bigger market in India, people, bigger players like JSPL, Coastal Movement, and of course, export is always open. So we are prepared. Given the situation, we have to send something out of Raipur, we will do it. There might be some certain probably impact on the pricing, but in the longer term, we don't see any challenge because our mine should be fully operational by then. So our input costs and our operating costs will be very healthy. So we can always keep making money. See, here, 1,000 rupees here and there is not a big difference, but with such a volume, things can happen. Sometimes the demand is good, sometimes the demand is bad. So we have to be prepared for all the situations.
Right, sir. Right, sir. And sir, if all things go by our plan and Q1 is when we get the EC from mining, so we don't intend to start, I mean, the pellet plant will start only in Q2 after we get the EC, right? I mean, we don't intend to use the Boriatibu ore for the pellet.
See, I'll tell you, even after the mine, once the mining EC is received, we will need a few months to ramp the capacity. So pellet plant, when it gets operational, right, it usually takes 3 to 6 months to get stabilized. So if there's a situation, we are on shortfall of iron ore for the trials, and we will buy from the market. So that will be a very temporary phase, hardly probably say 3 to 4 months. So I don't see a challenge because even pellet plant will take some time gradually to reach the maximum capacity.
Got it, sir.
If we have to take some iron ore from the market for a trial, then we will buy it. No big deal.
Got it, sir. And lastly, sir, what gives you this surety or a security that we will receive the EC for mining by Q1 FY26?
Okay. So there was a desire, there was an approval desired by the state government where eventually they referred the case to the mining ministry and eventually the law ministry. So that took almost 6 months for that desired approval or recommendation from the mining ministry in our favor. So that approval has been received by the center, by the state government now. So now everything is started on a very rapid pace. IBM has already approved our new mining application. So we are very confident by Q1 we will get the EC. The major hiccup was that approval from the center. That approval has already come 2 months back. So now we're confident we will get the EC by Q1.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir, for answering my questions and all the best.
Yes. Because we do understand the entire business of right now Godavari is built on the mine side. So it straight away impacts our EBITDA levels.
Right. Right. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Siddharth Gadekar from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. First question on the public hearing. Have you received any date for the public hearing, or that is still one or 2 months away?
Okay. So last week only, IBM has accepted the proposal. So now the State Pollution Board will issue the final guidelines along with the public hearing. So expecting the public hearing to be announced probably in the next couple of weeks. So we expect the public hearing to happen somewhere in post-Holi, end of March. And once that is done, so in a couple of months, we'll get the EC. So as I said, everything is now moving on a very rapid pace.
Okay. So secondly, our crushing and beneficiation comes online 6 months after the EC approval. So how should we think about the ramp-up of the pellet, the new pellet capacity? Will we be buying iron ore from outside till then, or how should we think about our operation?
So I'll just to give you a very clear picture. So the new beneficiation plant, there are two parts. One is 1.5 million beneficiation of BMQ, which is the low Fe iron ore of 35 Fe. It's called banded magnetite quartz. out of which 0.6 million has already been commissioned and the plant is already running in full flow, right? The remaining 0.9 million of BMQ will take about 6 months after getting the EC to commission the plant, right? Parallelly, there's a 4.5 million beneficiation for the iron ore lumps. So till the beneficiation gets completed, which is about 6 months, we'll keep sending the iron ore, which is about 60-61, to the plant where we already have the capacity to beneficate. So once the plant is commissioned in mines, so we'll stop beneficating in Godavari, we'll start beneficating in mines. That will help in reducing our cost. So that's the whole idea.
So there will not be any impact in terms of our, because of the delay in beneficiation that our mines...
No. There will not be because we already have a capacity in plant premises to beneficate the raw materials. Just that the beneficating in mines will help us in reducing cost. So we have invested in mines. That's the reason.
So secondly, in terms of our beneficiation costs, can you give us some sense what is our beneficiation cost from going from 35 to 65?
My delivered cost to my plant currently, which I'm beneficating, is about 2,200 rupees, 2,200 after beneficiation.
And the royalty in this would be around 50 rupees?
No. See, the royalty is payable on the dispatch. So we are beneficating from 35 to 65 in the mines. So we are paying royalty of 65 concentrate, which is about 750 rupees as per IBM.
Okay.
Because we're not bringing 35 to plant. We are benefiting 35 in the mines itself and dispatching only the concentrate of 65 grade.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Just one more question around this, that if we transfer the low-grade iron ore to the plant, our royalty rate will reduce drastically, right?
The royalty will reduce drastically, but what will happen is now if you beneficiate the low grade into at the plant site, you are incurring a cost of 1,000 rupees on the transportation. So transportation cost will go up 2.2 times. So saving the royalty of 500 rupees, but you will lose up 15 rupees on the transportation.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So secondly, now given that we are reworking on our steel plant capex, how should we think about the capex numbers over 26 and 27?
See, for FY26, the mining, the beneficiation, the pellet plant, the solar for both mining and pellet plant, and few other, you know, NHF in capex, which we have envisaged, that all be done in FY26. So roughly a capex about, say, 1,300 crores will be spent in FY26. And FY27, hopefully we are able to come up with a concrete plan for the revised steel capacity. And if we are able to get the EC, so that expansion will happen in FY26. But major expansion will start from 27. So depending on the revised steel capacity, we will come with the revised capex plan. For example, if we do a 0.8 million capacity or a 1 million capacity, the figure will be somewhere about 3,000 to 4,000 crores.
Okay, got it.
So basically, you can consider 400 crores to 450 crores per lakh ton of steel. So for a 0.8 million, 3,500 crores. For a 1 million, probably 4,000 crores. That's the ballpark figure.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to take questions from all participants in the conference, please restrict yourself to 2 questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Mohammed Sheikh Sahil from IDBI Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. Can you please provide the guidance for FY26 in terms of revenue and EBITDA margins?
The FY26, earlier we had envisaged, the mining will start in FY26 and the pellet plant. I mean, unfortunately, the mining will not start, till at least Q2. So in terms of revenue, you can consider probably additional production of, say, about 0.5 to 0.6 million of pellet for the new pellet plant. So probably we produce about 3 million pellets. So that additional revenue will be added. And see, EBITDA, we expect the current market scenario to be somewhere, probably you can add the additional volume which will come up pellet and the additional EBITDA thing you can add. So not much improvement compared to FY25. But FY27, there will be a substantial jump because the mining will be at full capacity and the new pellet plant will be at full capacity.
What are we targeting for FY27 margins?
27, to be honest, at a 4.5 million capacity of pellet and plus addition everything, bare minimum is about, you know, 15-20 crore rupees of EBITDA, FY27. But of course, it's a very, very, I would say, it's a very assumption based, because you don't know where the market is going to be in next 15 months, being a commodity market. But yeah, as per current market scenario, you can easily assume an additional EBITDA of close to 600 crores from the new pellet plant.
Okay, okay. And sir, second question is regard with Gamma Pigment. Sir, what was the contribution to the top line for that subsidy?
Sorry, can you please come again?
Sir, in regard to Jammu Pigment, sir, what was the contribution to the top line, any in terms of percentage?
See, what happened in this quarter, yeah, in Jammu Pigments, we have acquired only 21.46% till December 24. So the top line is not added line by line. It is considered as a joint venture company. The share of profit is only considered in our numbers. And this acquisition was made on 20th November 24. So for a limited period of 40 days, around 50 lakhs profit is considered as a share of profit from joint venture company.
Okay, sir. Got. That's it from the side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants to restrict yourself to 2 questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Jash from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is on the steel plant. So earlier there was a lot of back and forth on the steel plant, and now we have finally decided to drop it. So was there any concern from the environment clearance perspective, because we were expecting, we had a lot of delays on the environment front. So was that a case and that's where we are dropping, or is that because of the higher capex?
See, there are 2 things. One is, you know, if you have got the environment clearance say last year, we have definitely started the 2 million project, you know, and of course we would have. But in the meantime, what has happened in the last 12-15 months, when we have, you know, done the detailed capex planning, we revised the our envisage number was not correct, right? So from 6,000 crores, bare minimum is about 8,000 crores. So that is one, you know, probably mistake I would admit. It was done from our side in envisaging the initial capex. Plus, with the current market scenario, with so much of steel capacity in flat segment only added by primary, which is coming in already in line and coming in future, we decided it's better to, you know, probably look at some other products rather than, you know, competing with the big guys. So these two, situations, you know, there was a reason for us to scrap the 2 million project.
Right. And, sir, because the Dania mines will be coming on board in FY27, and so because of that itself, we were venturing into this steel capex. So, are we confident that we will be, on this 1 million ton that we are envisaging, will be on that frame so that the earnings don't take a hit?
No, see, definitely we want to invest into steel, because eventually so much pellet capacity is also not right, you know, you put everything in one basket with so much of pellet as a merchant sale. So you want to, you know, convert a pellet into, you know, value to steel with a lower capex. So the idea is not to borrow from land, convert a pellet into valued steel and go with a lower capacity. So the steel plant will definitely come up. We need some more time to come at a complete plan and a complete capex.
Right. Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for understanding. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Aditya Walikar from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. Sir, my question is with regard to this drop in the realization of the pellet. So you alluded to that the pellet capacity coming in the vicinity of Raipur and in Chhattisgarh. So in the medium to long term, structurally, do you see any risk from these pellet plants coming up and putting pressure on the pellet prices structurally going in future? And how easy for someone is to put the pellet plants? Do these pellet plants have the iron ore as a backward integration, or people can set up the pellet plant and it can put risk to our pellet price realizations in future?
See, firstly, you know, buying fines in the market and investing into pellet plant, I don't see a business proposition there. I don't see a, it's always going to be a struggle to buy fines in the market and make money in the pellet business. In our case, because we have a captive iron ore mines, so our 100% iron ore will be from captive, so we will always be making the money, right? And in terms of competition, there will be competition because, you know, see, even Lloyd is coming with a 4 million plant in Maharashtra, right, which is very close to Raipur, right? So even he'll be targeting the areas around Chandrapur and Chhattisgarh. So there will be competition. So that is the reason, a longer term, we want to hedge our pellet bets and, you know, use those additional pellets into captive steel making in the longer term.
Okay, understood, sir. So that was the only question. Thank you.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants to restrict yourself to 2 questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Chirag Singhal from First Water Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, please tell me.
Yeah, just 2 questions from mine. First is on the industry. So can you please share what was the pellet capacity that was commissioned over the last 1 year? And how much capacity are you expecting to come up, excluding our expansion in the near term?
Okay, so the capacity which has come up in last 12 months is close to about 2 million tons, which is, I tell you, there's another difference also. What has happened is now, so for Odisha people, the merchant pellet plant, Bengal was a big market for them in terms of the pellet sale. What has happened is, in Bengal, every steel maker has invested in a pellet plant, and now, rather than buying from Odisha, rather they are selling into the market now. So our buyer has become a seller. So what has happened is, all the Odisha pellet plants are now focusing towards Chhattisgarh, because that is the closest to them. So there is additional volume which is coming to Chhattisgarh from Odisha pellet makers. That is one reason. Secondly, in terms of additional capacity which is added, so there's another Lloyd's is 4 million tons, which will come up in again Q1 of FY26. And in Raipur itself, additional capacity of 2.5 million tons is also coming up. So put together, Lloyd's plus commission 2 million and an additional of 2.5. So apart from Godavari, about 8 million tons of pellet plant is being commissioned in next 6 to 8 months, which is a good capacity.
8 million tons of additional capacity, excluding Godavari.
Excluding Godavari. Commissioned and to be commissioned.
Okay, so this includes 2 million tons, which has already been commissioned?
Yes, yes, 2 million already commissioned, and another 6 million will be commissioned in next 6 to 8 months.
Understood. And what is the total capacity in India, and how much of that is exported?
So currently, the pellet capacity in India, stall capacity is close to about 150 million tons with the average utilization of 80%. So I think in FY25, India probably will produce about 110-115 million tons of pellet. Export is hardly, because only port-based players like, you know, BRPL or say Mandovi Goa or say, you know, Arsenal Mittal, only these players are exporting certain volumes. Because for them, being at the port, the logistics cost to transport the material from inland to port is bare minimum. So those plants become commercially viable for export. But apart from that, right now, there's no export of pellet happening from India.
Understood. And my second question is on the price trend. So you mentioned that the prices were lower during Q3 because you had to export more because of the overcapacity. Now, if I look at, let's say we are now going to have the normal realizations because of higher domestic sales. If I look at the steel mill data, prices are almost flat quarter versus the previous quarter. So is it fair to assume that our NSLs will be at least higher by 1,000 rupees over the reported quarter, which is Q3?
See, pricing, see, we only exported 50,000 tons of pellet against, you know, volume of 3 lakh tons, which is hardly about, you know, 18%. So, for average realization of Godavari in Q4, the impact will be bare minimum. But what has happened is, the volumes which are accumulated in the plant as inventory in Q3, all those volumes will be sold in Q4. So, the Q4 volumes plus additional Q3 inventory volumes will be sold in Q4. So, that will straight away add to substantial EBITDA for Q4 in Godavari.
Okay, so you are saying that in Q4, we should not expect a lot of improvement in the pricing versus Q3.
Yes, pricing will not be substantial difference, but the volumes of sale in Q4 will be much higher compared to Q3. Substantial difference will be there.
Got it. Okay. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants to restrict yourself to two questions only. The next question is from the line of Suraj Khaitan from SKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please.
So my first question was for the pellet plant. So we actually sell high quality Fe content pellets. So it uses less of cooking coal. Now that prices of cooking coal have gone down, how do you see this thing? Because if coal prices are up, high quality pellets are more in demand as it saves cost on coal. So was that the also reason why our pellet sale has gone down apart from the new plant that has been set up?
So see, I'll tell you, usually for Godavari, the pellet sale has been in the domestic market where 90%, 95% buyers are of, coal-based GRI. We hardly sell pellets to, any blast furnace, right? We do get orders, here and there, probably, once, like in one couple of months by a blast furnace piece. For example, currently we are issuing order for JSPL Raigarh for the blast furnace, right? So the pellet pricing for Godavari is totally based on the domestic market, which is coal-based GRI. And there is substantial demand because the pellets are low alumina and low force, for which we continue to drive the same premium as, before. The only reason the sales were down, so you can see an impact on the numbers. When the sales are up, you won't see a difference in the numbers.
So my second question is regarding the expected capacity utilization after the new plant is set up. So what is the guidance for FY26 and FY27 for this pellet plant?
See, for FY26, we'll continue to produce about, 2.4, 2.5 million from the current capacity, and you can say additional 0.5 million or 0.6 million from the new plant. So about 3 million, 3.2 million of pellets we can assume in FY26. But FY27, we will produce full capacity of, say, 4.5 million tons of pellet.
And so my follow-up question will be regarding the margins of each product. We are in selling five products, so how much margins are we realizing from each product, like for example pellets, HBYs and strongs?
See, pellet, everything in a genuine market where everything is stable, we do about, roughly, so our pellet cost is about, 6,000 rupees per ton, and the average selling price is about 10,000 rupees. So we make a margin about 4,000 rupees on pellet on explant basis. We sell finish, which is wire rod and HB wire. So if you see from sponge iron, because sponge iron is captive, so from sponge to a finish sale, and with all the infra and the power cost, we make about, 5 to 7 rupees there. So 4 rupees from pellet plus additional 5 to 7 rupees from the seed capacity.
Okay, and thank you, sir. And one more question was there regarding, who are the top three players whom DPL sell pellets and what is the percentage?
May I please request you to rejoin the queue?
Okay, that's the top three buyers for GPL. So Prakash Industries, which is in Champa, has been a big buyer. Plus there are a couple of local guys. One is a group called, Real Spark Group is a big buyer. And another group called, Gankun Kanu Kripa. So all these domestic players, which are the major buyers of Godavari pellet on long-term basis.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please restrict yourself to only one question per participant. We have our next question from the line of Rakesh Roy from Boring AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my first question is, just to check, the new pellet plant is, we are increasing from 2.7 to 4.7, no?
Right, correct.
Yes, sir. And you are saying that for FI26, we will go from 2.7, we will go nearby 2.4, 2.5. And
what I told you was, so current guidance, if you see from last 2 years, it's about 2.5 million tons of pellet we are doing, right? Mm-hmm. 2.5 plus additional, say about 0.7 to 0.8 million tons from the new plant, because the plant will get commissioned in Q2. It will take about 6 months for stabilization. So we can consider a 40% capacity. So FY26, we'll do about, 3 to 3.25 million tons of pellet. But FY27, we should do about 4.5 million tons of pellet.
Okay. And so this is a pellet plant. So for new pellet plant, we have tied with the gas. Is it totally gas operating now?
So yeah, we have done an MOU with GAIL. So currently we use producer gas as a fuel for pellet plant. For the new pellet plant, we will switch to natural gas. And depending on the commercials and how the plant performs, given a situation, we might convert the entire, all the three pellet plants to natural gas. But that will depend on the market scenario going forward.
Definitely. Right, sir. If we use gas, definitely our margin will improve. How much margin we looking for improvement in margin?
No, see, to be honest, natural gas for India, especially for where our plant is, will never be cheap because it's natural gas is imported into India, then there is logistics cost. So commercially, there will not be any benefit by switching from coal gas to natural gas. The only reason is, you know, going forward with so much of capacity, if we have to export, so, you know, we're looking at, if you look at the Europe market, you know, the CBAM will be in place from January 26, right? So looking at all those scenarios, we want to start natural gas. And in longer term, probably we'll see if there is saving or if there is no saving. We want to keep options open.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
We have our next participant from the... We have our next question from the line of Yogansh Jeswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So, Vishik, sir, can you also share how much was our contribution from the high-value export that we used to do? And how will that shape up given the entire scenario that you have discussed so far in terms of new capacity coming in and, you know, we also coming up with the beneficiation plant and bigger pellet capacity?
See, currently, our high-grade production is about 65%, 35% is the 63 grade. Right, and the new capacity which will be coming up will be totally high grade. So going forward, our high grade will be, you know, close to about 80%, and 20% will be the commercial grade, which is in the domestic market. We are open with options of selling high grade in the domestic market if there's a demand. If there's no demand, we're also open doing exports. Or probably supplying to big players like, you know, the blast furnace guys like JSP and Tata if there's a demand in the market. So the options are open. The quality is there. We derive a certain premium. So depending on situation, we will keep selling it there. To be honest, we really can't be fixed about if we have to export or we don't have to export. Depending on the fund realizations of the company, focus of the company is to realize the maximum value of every ton of pellet we sell.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, please restrict yourself to one question per participant. We have our next question from the line of Manav Gogia from Yes Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please.
Hello.
The question.
Yes. Thank you once again for the opportunity. So one question I, you know, wanted to ask was on the maintenance shutdown that we did for Q2 for the pellet plant.
Yeah.
Were there more days during Q3 as well where we did, you know, some shutdowns were in place?
No, see, I'll tell you what happened. So there is a big annual shutdown which we usually take during the monsoon. And, you know, there might be, you know, small shutdowns of 3 days, 4 days for certain maintenance. So that's a part and parcel of the business. But eventually, it doesn't impact, you know, the year volume. So if you see our guidance for this year, and we are on track and we will be able to achieve that.
Sure, got it. And
usually we take one big shutdown, annual shutdown, and then there are probably a couple of small shutdowns of 4 to 5 days only, just to keep the plant running at full capacity.
Got it. And the, what would be the duration of the full shutdown, that like the big one that you take on an annual basis?
See, it's about 30 days, 25 to 30 days.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Siddharth Gadekar from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So just one question on the external pellet purchases. How much have we purchased this year in 9 months, and what would be the full year's purchases?
You mean fines? Because you mentioned
fines,
pellet.
Yeah.
Okay. So see, roughly our current mines capacity, you know, gives us about 70-75% of the requirement. So we purchase about 50,000 tons of iron ore from the market. 50,000. So about 6 lakh tons annually we purchase from the market currently.
Okay. So, and going ahead into FY26 from the mine start, this market will go to zero, right?
Sorry?
Once our mines start, the expansion comes in, this will go to zero, right?
100%, yeah. So once the mining capacity is to the full capacity, so our current requirement, which are buying from the market, plus the additional requirement, everything will become captive.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Divya Agarwal from FICOM Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So, just wanted to know what the yield rate that you get on the beneficiation plant?
Okay, so on the BMQ side, because it's low grade, we do about 50%. And on the plant side, so the yield is about 80-85% on annual basis.
You mean BHQ? You do BHQ as well?
So BMQ is about 50% and the iron ore, which is about high grade 6061, from that we get about 80-85% on annual basis.
Okay.
To maintain the pellet quality.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Chirag, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Sir, can you provide a brief overview of the entire production process at TPIL, starting from iron ore to pellet production, moving downstream to sponge iron, billets, and etc. How does the integrated operation function?
So basically it's mining, then pellets affect to the DRI for making sponge iron is now affect to the steel making, which is the induction furnaces, along with a little bit of scrap. And then billets are being hot charged to the rolling mill for making wire rods and structures, which we recently commissioned. And wire rods are further rolled into, you know, cold run into HB wires. So basically we sell wire rods and we sell HB wires as a finished product. And pellets because they have additional capacity. So that is the entire process. That meant, of course, the captive power. Yeah.
Right. Regarding the half-million ton integrated steel plant, what specific products are produced within this capacity? If you consider the combined production of MS round, HB wire, sponge iron, the total exceeds 1 million tons.
Currently our steel capacity is about 0.5 million ton of crude steel, which is billets. So of 0.5 million, about 0.2-0.25 is wire rods, and about 0.2-0.25 will be structures. The new mill which has commissioned in Araspat, right? So going forward, once the Araspat mill gets fully operational to its full capacity, so billets, so 50% will be structured, 50% will be wire rods as finished products.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that would be the last question for today, and I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. We would like to express our heartfelt appreciation for joining us on this conference call, and we are confident that we have adequately addressed all your inquiries. Should you have any further questions or need additional information, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team at Go India Advisors. Once again, we sincerely thank you all for your active participation and unwavering support. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of MK Global Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.